Hello everyone, welcome to this episode of Paddock Pass, the podcast where we talk all things motorsport. I'm your host, Evie Spencer, an aspiring motorsport journalist from the UK, and you can follow me on TikTok, Instagram and YouTube at Evie Spencer Motorsport. Make sure to follow my socials and this podcast for lots of motorsport content. Hope you enjoy! Okay, so today I'm here with Gemma. Gemma, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yes, my name's Gemma Kiddy. I'm racing in TKM Extreme and I've been racing for just over a year and I race at the Hunt Kart Racing Club.
Perfect. So Gemma, can you tell me as a start, how did you get started in motorsport?
Well, there was probably a lot of factors that went into it. My uncle raced classic cars, so I'd go and watch. My dad used to watch it on TV, but I was very much adamant that I hated it. Like, I'd be so excited to go and everything, but as soon as someone was like, did you enjoy it, I'd be like, nah, I hated it, it was awful. And my dad was like, do you want to watch Formula One? I was like, nah, I don't. But then I'd sit next to him and secretly like be excited as soon as Jenson Button won. It was honestly like, yeah, I just wanted to not like it. And then it got to the point where my uncle said to me, he was like, one day you can drive this racing car. And I was like, no, I can't. He was like, yeah, you can. Of course you can. He was like, but you just have to do some practice first. I was like, okay, how do I do that? And he goes, karting's the best way to start. And then since then, I've been hooked. Like, I was like, I have to do this. I have to be the best because I need to drive this car.
I love that. So what car was that that you wanted to drive?
So he used to race classic Formula 3. And
Oh, wow. He's
still got the car in his garage waiting for me. So I'm just a bit more practice and hopefully I'll be there.
Oh my gosh, I love that. That's one of the most interesting stories I've heard. I love
that.
It. That's so good. Right, okay, so can you tell me more about, so your dad watched F1 and your uncle raced the classic F3 cars. So did you kind of grow up watching him race the F3 cars?
Yeah, quite a lot. So most of my weekends, it was kind of like, oh, can you come and help out? Because I was a very hands-on person, but it was mostly art when I was younger. And he was like, oh, I'll just come and help out, hand me spanners, this, that, and the other. And then the whole time I was just excited to be there. There's pictures of me sat in his car and I could not stop smiling. And yeah, my dad used to talk about cars a lot because he used to race motorbikes as well. My dad did. So I was kind of brought up in it. And then, yeah, it got to the point where I was like, I can't really hide this anymore. I think everyone started to realize that I like it.
I love that. So next question, kind of how did you get in contact with your team RSR, I think it is?
Yeah, so I raced in a rental championship kind of thing called Young Stars, which is where they teach you basically racecraft up to a racing level. And when I was there, we were talking around and I'd only just started, but I was like 16 at this point. So everyone kind of thought I was ready to like race owner carts. So the name flew around, Rob Saw, and I was like, I don't know who this is, but I'd say about 10 people were like, you need to speak to Rob Saw. This is your guy. This is the person to speak to. So I basically treated him as like Master Oogway. He was the one I had to go see. I felt like he knew everything. So I spent ages trying to find out who he was. And then eventually someone came to speak to me. He was actually already on RSR. And he was like, why don't you come along to one of our races at Kimbolton, which I'd never been to before. He was like, you can come and watch and then you can speak to Rob whilst you're there. And I was like hooked. I felt like I was behind the scenes of like this celebrity thing. I went in their van when they were doing their data analysis. I was loving it. And then, yeah, I got in contact with Rob and I already had a car at that point, but he gave me some like coaching at the time, helped me get into Kimbolton. And then I took my ARCs there and then eventually started racing there with him.
So those people that were telling you about Rob Saw, was it?
Yeah, Rob Saw.
Who were they?
So they were other people on this Young Stars thing. So basically, Rob Saw, he runs RSR, obviously, and he races mostly at Kimbolton and Red Lodge. So Red Lodge was where I started. And a lot of people who were in Young Stars would then go and borrow one of his carts and test like an owner cart, mostly because at the time, everyone else was a lot younger than me. So they were mostly like cadets and things. But I went to Rob and I basically said to him, I was like, I have my own cart, but I really don't know what I'm doing because I'd been handed an old cart by my uncle that he used to practice with. But it was a 1998 Tony cart and I had no idea what I was doing here. I got in it and I was like, this is too scary for me. So I went to Rob and I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, just give me some advice. So I did a test day and he was there and he helped me out a little bit. And then I ended up buying a newer car, which was a 2017 Tony car, which I raced only for 2 rounds at Red Lodge because there wasn't anyone else racing there in my class. So it was just kind of, I went on the back of the senior Rotax and it was kind of just practice, get used to the car. I'd only done, I think, 1 or 2 test days beforehand. And Rob helped me out there. And then he was like, the place you need to go is Kimbolton. And he was so right. It's been amazing since then.
So how is your season going so far, like this year's season?
Yeah, so I skipped the first couple of races. So I think until March, I believe, I hadn't done any rounds, and that was because I was taking time off. I kind of had like mock exams and everything was just a bit much. So I was like, oh, I'm going to take some time off and then come back when my head's in it. And I think my first proper race was either June or July, where I was like fully in it. And it's been going really well since then. I bought a new car. So I've got a 2022 Telco, which is so much better. I didn't realize that the Tony car just didn't suit my driving style at all. I just thought I was slow at learning. And I got this new car, and honestly, things have been going so well since then. Unfortunately, like the results haven't quite reflected that because I'll have a really good test day and then someone will crash into me, or I'll just make a stupid mistake on race day. But like when you actually look at the data, you can see how much my lap times have improved and my confidence as well, because I had a crash on my first ever race, which somehow, I don't know how, completely knocked my confidence to the point that I was like, now I'm not overtaking. Like, it's not for me. Maybe racing's just not for me. And then, yeah, the past couple of months, that's just gone. I'm not really sure how, but I think it's just a case of experience, really.
Yeah, I think that's the thing as well. I think the more you do it, the more used you get to it. I mean, going to watch karting, I've seen some people just progress and just fly
Yeah.
completely in like a matter of months, like you were saying, and it's crazy. And I think the other thing that you said was that your results aren't like displaying what like progress you're making. And I think that's so true. I think people are really hung up on their results. But I
Yeah.
think as long as you're improving lap time and you're improving your confidence and you're getting ready to improve those results, I think that's the best thing you can do.
Yeah, 100%. That's something I really had to work on because I'd have such a good practice day. My races would be going well, and I'd just not quite get the results that I wanted. And I'd come in, I'd be like, this weekend was awful. Like, this was a waste of time. Maybe racing is not for me. And my dad would be like, that's the best you've ever driven. Why are you comparing yourself to everyone else? Like, if you look back on like how far back you were last month, it's the progress that you just don't notice. So I think a lot of people, like especially if you're starting out in karting, just make sure to like focus on yourself mostly. Just compare to yourself. And even if things aren't as good as they were last month, people make mistakes, like move on to the next one and just like focus on all the little positives, really.
Yeah. So what is the motorsport life like? So like the travel, the training, and like actually driving in the car.
Yeah, so it's a mixture of stressful and exciting, I would say. When I first started karting, I had one job, and that was a weekend job, which really does not work with karting. So I then kind of cut down on that. I said to them, I was like, I can't work this weekend I'm racing. And they were so understanding. Like, honestly, they couldn't have been better about it. And then it got to the point where, as I'm sure you'd work out, karting is very expensive. So I was like, okay, I'm gonna need to like get some more money here. So I then got another job at a gym. So I'm working at the moment, I'm working 4 days a week, and I have been for about 6 months, I think. Been working about that. And it's quite difficult. It's just stressful because I think a lot of people forget that you race, because I don't talk about too much outside of karting. Sometimes I'll say to my boss, I'll be like, oh, when are my shifts? And he's like, right, you're working every weekend this month. I'm like, what? Like, I can't be doing that. So I think little things like that do make it a little bit stressful, but like overall, I love it. Like the training for it, I've really got into the gym recently. Initially, I just did it for karting, like it was literally just a case of I wasn't as strong as everyone else. I was getting to the end of the race and I was like, nah, I'm exhausted. So I started going to the gym just for that, and then I've just ended up loving it, really. So I go about 4 or 5 times a week for that. I do a bit of training on the sim. Not too much, to be honest, because I've got a really old F1 game. I can't remember what it is, but it's not too accurate. but I do a bit on there just to like keep up with it. Like, imagine I'm in the kart seat. But I think overall it's really fun, especially the people you meet. Like, I think sometimes people forget that the race weekend isn't just you get there, you drive, and you go home. It's kind of like a big party in the evenings, because I camp wherever I race. So in the evenings, quite a lot of the time, it's like me and my dad going to chat to other people, like hanging out on the track. So I think, like, overall, karting changes your life quite a lot. It's not just the weekends you're doing, it's kind of like every other day as well.
Yeah, and I think you gain a whole new friendship circle as well with it.
Yeah,
Like,
100%, yeah.
I think even going to watch from my point of view, like, I've never raced a kart, don't even gonna try because I can't tell my lefts from my rights, so that would just be disastrous. But even just going to watch, I mean, I've gained a whole new friendship circle from just going to watch it. And it's so nice because they all know about my podcast, they all watch my podcast, so hi guys if you're listening. But yeah, all of that, it's just lovely. And the thing is as well, it's such, I know it can get competitive at times, and there's times where it does need to be competitive, but I think when it doesn't, like in the evenings, like you say, it's just lovely to be there. And it's like, yeah, as you said, it's just like a big party.
Yeah, the thing is, I feel like the good thing about drivers is that they can differentiate between when you're on track and when you're off track. So very rarely will you come off track and they'll be hung up on a little mistake you made, or you tap them or whatever. Very rarely does that happen, and you're usually just like best mates again as soon as you get off track. So it's quite nice to have that like competitive side, but then you also come off and you're just friends again.
So my next question is kind of, being a female interested and like wanting to pursue a career in motorsport, how does this like change your experience of motorsport and karting and all of that?
Yeah, so I feel like it depends which day you ask me that question as to what my answer is. Some days it's amazing. Like, people are just friendly. Quite often, like, I'll go and get my engine rebuilt or go to buy parts, and they're excited to see me. They're asking lots of questions, giving me advice. And like, quite often, like, I'd say 90% of people, if you're in the paddock and you're struggling, they'll come straight over to you. And I think it's because you get more attention than the other boys. Like, obviously, being in a grid where there's only three girls and then all the rest are boys, it's like, obviously, they're going to notice you. So I think quite often it does play into your favor a little bit. You'll be having a problem and everyone will come help. But I think you do get the odd person or people that just demotivate you. You do get some people that, like, oh, this is why women aren't in motorsport, this is why you've never seen a woman in Formula One. And it's just little comments like that which do drag you down. But I think overall, it's good, to be honest.
Yeah, I totally agree with the fact that it's mostly just equal now. I think a couple of years ago, I think if I asked you the same question, I think it would be a little bit different.
Yeah.
But I think recently it has changed a lot, and I think it's very accepted. But yeah, you still do get those couple of people who aren't very nice about it and use your gender.
Yeah, it's to be expected, I think. I think the only problem is it creates like more pressure for you. Because sometimes I'll be like, I won't notice that I'm the only girl on a grid. Like, it's not like I sit there and I'm like, oh, I'm a girl and the rest are guys. Like, it doesn't really occur to me. It's like, I want to beat them. And then sometimes I'll make a mistake and someone will just say something. They'll just be like, oh, that's why there's no other girl drivers. And I'm just like, that just messes with my head. It just distracts me so much. So I do have to work quite hard to like put that aside, not think about it. But then, as I say, sometimes it is good. And especially the other girls on the grid, they're so friendly. Because it's quite difficult, because obviously seats are built for boys. Everything's kind of set up for guys because there's not many girls in there. So it's so useful when you can talk to another girl and they can say, well, this seat fitted me well, this suit, you know, this helmet wasn't too heavy, whatever. And it just suits you better. So yeah, that's one thing that I'm very grateful for, is that the girls on my grid are so friendly.
Yeah, and I love that. I think being part of like a minority on the grid is so nice, as well as it having its challenges. It's also got its like positives, because you're all kind of going through the same thing.
Yeah, and it's quite exciting. I remember I was in the toilets once and I was washing my hands, and a mum and her little daughter come in, and the mum goes, she's a racing driver, so you could be too. And this little girl just went off about how she wants to drive cars. she wants to beat Lewis Hamilton. And I was stood there and I was just gobsmacked. And I was like, I forget that even though I'm not racing at the front and I'm not winning championships, like I could still be inspiring someone to just give it a go if they didn't think about it before.
Oh, I love that. That is actually made me quite emotional. That's so
I know, it
cute.
was such a heartwarming moment. I was like, oh.
Oh, I love that. And I think that's exactly it. I think you can inspire people just doing what you do normally. Like, you
Yeah, just
don't
by
even
being
think about it.
that. Yeah, because another thing that I forgot to talk about is when I was at this Young Stars thing, I remember looking on track and there was two owner carts testing. And one of them on the back of the suit was written Steph. And I was like, there is no way this super speedy person I've been watching for so long is a girl. I was like, I don't understand. There's no way. And she came off track, took her helmet off, girl. And I was like, what is going on? So I went to speak to her and she ended up being Rob Saul's daughter, who was doing driver coach for someone else I know. And from that moment onwards, it kind of changed the way I saw it because obviously I wanted to go into racing before, like I was determined, all of this, that, and the other, but I'd never seen a girl karter ever. So to see her like come off track, she was someone that I'd looked up to just because she had her helmet on. I had no idea who she was, just because she was so fast on track. When she got off, I was like, there is no way she's a girl. And then, yeah, from then I was like, you know what, maybe I can do that.
I love that. That's, yeah, I think it all goes back to the thing. It's just so inspiring to see others do well. So tell me, what are your biggest achievements or your single biggest achievement so far?
Yeah, so it's that one. I was thinking about that question for a long time because I was like, there's never been one defining moment. Because some people you'll speak to and they'll be like, oh, I won this championship or I won this race against this person. And I've never had a moment that, like, when I look back on it, it's like, that is my moment. But I was sorting through my camera roll because I had 10,000 photos. Was probably a year and a half ago. And it was the picture that I was talking about where I was in the back of the van doing the data analysis with this team. And I felt so at awe of them. I was like, there is no way I'm stood with all of these people. Like, they're professional karters. I'm so excited. My first time there. And I just kind of looked up to everyone. I'd seen like a British champion. And I was like, I want a picture with him. It was just all so exciting. And then I was thinking about it. I was like, I'm racing on a team with these people. Like, they're now my friends. They're my teammates. Like, I'm racing against British champions. And these are the same people that, like, not even 2 years ago, I fully looked up to and would have asked their autograph. So I think, to be honest, the thing that I think about a lot and it makes me really proud of myself is probably just the fact that I'm here in such a short amount of time. Like, I didn't give up all those stupid times that I did stupid things. I kind of carried on, and that's probably, yeah, just carrying on, really.
I love that. I think that is one of the most difficult things to do is just carry on and be resilient. I think, especially when you
Yeah.
get knocked back so much, because motorsport is so up and down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's something I didn't know about is how many factors go into motorsport. Because obviously, I thought you're either fast or you're not. You know, the people winning are the ones that are fastest. But like money, time, team, equipment, everything goes into it. So it is, I could, yeah, it's very frustrating sport because there's times when I'm fully like, I could have done so well there, but this went wrong, or someone crashed into me, or I crashed, or whatever. But yeah, I feel like just keeping your head up at all times, remembering why you started is something really important. Remembering what you're aiming for, just like take one step at a time, even if you're not that close to it.
I love that. I think that's so inspiring. So, what are your plans for the near future?
Yeah, so next year I was thinking about doing the British Kart Championship. I don't think I'd be anywhere near winning the championship, but I've been meaning to go to more tracks and I'm not sure how much longer I'll be able to race due to like money and going to university and things. So I was planning on doing that next year, but there's been talks that it's like the championship's changing a little bit. So I'm not too sure what's happening with that, but hopefully, yeah, next year I'll be doing some sort of high up championship, either British Kart Champs or NKC or something like that, so I can go to a few more tracks, just get a bit more experience, really.
I like that. I think so this year I went to watch all of the kart championship, I think it was called. But I've gone and watched all of those. And I think just going around and seeing all the different tracks just amazed me, because I've always just watched Formula One and thought there was loads of tracks. But then I realized there was club ones, like club championships. And it's just the whole world of karting has amazed me, because I'm very new to it all. I think I only kind of learned about it last year. So I'm very new to it. But yeah, I think that's so cool. So what is the dream in motorsport?
That's a difficult one to say, because when I started karting, the dream was actually to be a mechanic. Like, I wanted to work in Formula One as an engineer for so long. And I thought, like, maybe racing in it would get me experience. Like, I'd be able to go to a uni and say, well, I had my own car, I raced it, I did all the mechanicking, this, that, and the other. Plus, it would mean I could get into some teams and talk to them. So initially, the dream was nothing to do with racing, really. It was just to be a mechanic. Right now, money is a massive problem. Luckily, I've got one sponsor, A-Team Appliances, who are helping out enormously at the minute. But yeah, the limiting factor is 100% money. I'd love to do a Formula 4 test, even if it was just one of them ones where you pay, drive, anyone can do it. I'd love to do that. But I think I just need to talk around more, see who's out there, what I can do. But what I'm quite lucky with is they've got quite a lot of competitions for women to get into motorsport. So I think there's a thing called Formula Women, which is where you basically do a series of tests, and then eventually they make a team of women that race in the, I think it's the GT, I believe. But yeah, at the moment I'm a bit of like a floater, trying to see where it goes. I'm like looking into unis at the moment for next year. So I guess it kind of depends where that goes. But I think the main thing is seeing how this year finishes, decide what I do next year, and then we'll see where it goes from there.
Yeah. What do you want to do at uni? Do you have any ideas yet?
Yeah, so initially I would definitely, like, I had my heart set on motorsport engineering. But then I thought about it and I was like, if I'm doing it as my hobby and I'm also doing it as my job, that's like a lot. Like, don't get me wrong, I love it and I'd love to spend 24 hours a day around cars and things. But I was like, say I start to fall out of love with my job, what if that means I then hate my hobby as well and the other way around? So I was like, I need to kind of work out a way of differentiating them. And then I fell in love with biology at A level. And I was like, this is my calling. Like, I have to do this. And I found a course called, I think it's biomedical engineering. And that's basically building like prosthetic legs, machines that they use in like the medical field, things like x-ray machines, stuff like that. And I think that's my calling at the minute. I think that's what I'm going towards, but I haven't decided yet.
Oh, wow. That's so cool. I've actually never heard of that course. Like, don't get me wrong, I've not looked into university courses yet. I'm in year 11, so that's like the last thing I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
I've got a long way to go, but that is so, so cool.
Yeah, because I always loved engineering, and like, even when I said I hated Formula One, I was like, I want to do something hands-on. I don't care what it is, but I got to do something. I can't be doing like typing and things. So I knew I wanted to do that. And then, yeah, when I got to A level, I don't know what happened, but I just fell in love with biology. It was like by far my favorite subject. I just wanted to read about it all the time. Everything interested me. And then I got an advert on Instagram, actually. Manchester Uni popped up and it said biomedical engineering, had a picture of a prosthetic leg. And I was like, what if this is the one? I think it is.
I think that's a good mix of both of the things you've said you liked as well. I think that's like a good way to keep into the engineering hands-on side of it, but also to do what you love with the biology. I think that's really cool.
Yeah, and hopefully it's well paid and I can have some nice cars on the side.
I love that. What's your dream car?
I want a 1966 Ford Mustang. That is my dream.
I love that.
I think it has to be in baby pink. That's the only thing.
Of course, you have to have a colour. I think this is going to sound so basic, and like, I've had racers say to me, like, this is, you're never going to want one of these, but for my first car, I am desperate for a red Fiat 500. And now I know that's so big.
My first car was a Mini, which really, at the time, I was like trying to be all tomboy and cool, and it did not suit my vibe at all. But everyone thought it was really funny because I'm like 5 foot and I was driving a Mini, and everyone made a lot of jokes out of that one.
I love that. But yeah, no, but I think, yeah, my dream car is probably a Porsche or a Ferrari. I don't really mind about the like specification. I don't know what you call it. But I don't really mind which exact car it is, but I think, yeah, Porsche or Ferrari, or maybe McLaren, actually. I'd love a McLaren. So, love it, we got self-track there. Who are your motorsport heroes?
Well, it's difficult because when you ask that, I know most people will probably say like Michael Schumacher or like Ayrton Senna or something. And don't get me wrong, like Formula One was a massive inspiration to getting into the sport. But I think quite a lot of my inspirations are like the people I race with. So like I'll be talking to someone and they'll be like, yeah, I remember when I was at your stage and like I was really struggling and wasn't making too much progress. And now they're like the British champion or something. And I just think those are the type of people that really inspire me just because they're so relatable. And it's the same with women drivers. People like Jamie Chadwick, I see interviews and I'm like, she knows what I'm going through. Like everything she says, I'm like, yeah, I feel that. So I feel like it's probably the people that are more relatable to me that I probably look up to the most.
Yeah, I like that. I think, I mean, my biggest info in it, oh my God, I can't even speak today. What is going on? My biggest inspiration for like presenting is Lissy McIntosh. And I feel like she is the standard. You know what I mean? Like,
definition of perf.
And the fact she's dating a driver as well, I love that. I'm also currently
she's living everyone's dream right now.
She is. And also I'm dating a driver. So I'm like, I say to my boyfriend all the time, I'm like, we are going to be Marcus and Lissy when we're older. Like, this is my plan. I've got it all planned out.
You're basically her.
I'm just the BTEC version. I am the BTEC version.
You're getting there.
Thank you. And you will be Jamie Chadwick one day. This is it.
Yeah.
My last question, I ask it to everybody. You've probably heard this because you said you listened to the podcast. But if you could get a paddock pass to any race in the world, where would you go?
Okay. I haven't got a really in-depth answer to this. And you're probably going to laugh at me the second I say it. But I would go to Las Vegas because I'm a really big Elvis fan. And that's the only reason, really.
I love that. I love that so much.
Really embarrassing, but like when I first started TikTok, that was called Musical.ly at the time, I was looking back at my old videos that I've now saved privately, and in the background I have about a 3-foot picture of Elvis Presley's face in the back of my room, and I was about 10, and I just think that is dreadful.
You know what, it's iconic, because what other 10-year-olds have a 3-foot picture of Elvis in their room?
I think there's probably a reason to that, but I'm just going to call it quirky and unique and we'll leave it at that.
Yes, I love it. Yeah, I think Vegas would be such a cool one. I mean,
it looks
obviously,
like it's going to be good.
Yes, I mean, and the track looks so fast paced as well. So I think that'll be good. And as well, because I'm a super big Danny Rick fan, always have
me
been,
too.
Always will be. And I think the fact that he's excited for it makes me excited for it.
So, yeah, if he's in a good mood, he'll drive well. So I'm excited for this one.
Exactly. So we'll both be looking forward to that this year, at least.
I know, we'll be watching it.
Love that. Okay, well, is there anyone that you kind of want to shout out? Anything like that?
Yeah, 100%. So like, I have a lot of thank yous. And obviously, because I haven't had any big wins yet, I've not had a chance to say all these thank yous. But like, 100%, my dad, like, he put so many things aside just to get me into racing. Like, he started off helping paying for it, and then he just has to put his time aside making sure I get to places on time, get everything sorted. So big thank you to him. Obviously RSR, like, unreal amount of help they've given me, the training, especially Steph. She did some sim training with me and talked a lot about mindset and things, and that's something that I feel like we don't talk about enough, is like the thoughts behind racing and how much that can affect your driving. So a big shout out to the whole of RSR, and especially the people in it. The whole of the team is so friendly. Everyone's just like willing to help. And also my sponsors, A-Team Appliances, they put faith in me this year and haven't quite paid it off, but it will come. I can feel it coming, and hopefully we'll have them again next year.
I love that. So thank you for coming on the podcast.
No problem. I loved it.
Thank you for listening to the Paddock Pass podcast with me, Evie Spencer. Make sure to follow this podcast for more episodes and head over to my socials for more motorsport content.